Patty.
This is Dr. Diana Wiley, and I'm your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. Sherry Winston is back. I'm so glad that Sherry Winston, who has been a guest on this program many times, the last time was May the 5th. And I venture to say that, Sherry, that on May the 5th, we probably didn't think that the pandemic would be still going on October the 13th. It's just gone on and on and on. Don't you agree, Sherry?
I do. I totally agree. At the same time, I think we also have to look forward a little and realize that this might be going on for quite a while longer.
Yes, I know. So we need all the tools we can get. And
you got it.
Yes, and my recently published book, Love in the Time of Corona, Advice from a Sex Therapist for Couples in Quarantine, can give tools, and your books can offer tools, too. And we're going to talk about that today, especially we're going to talk about how couples can rekindle a sexual relationship, perhaps carving out a bubble in the midst of huge stressors, all these stressors and distractions, which can make even thinking about sex difficult for many. We've got the pandemic. We've got the election. We've got Black Lives Matter. We've got a new Supreme Court justice to be voted in. It goes on and on and on. And so how can a couple think about their sexual relationship? You offered, I'm going to read the blurb that you offered before we struck some of it, but the complete quote is really good, and this is what you wrote for the blurb for the Love in the Time of Corona. If you want to stick together while you're stuck together, I love that alliteration, stick and stuck, then you need Diana Wiley's Love in the Time of Corona. Important anytime, but essential in this time of stress and challenge, Diana offers expert insight and sage sexual advice, guidance on how to shift from quarantining into cocooning, and I love that too, quarantining into cocooning, and transform your partnership into an extraordinary and extra sexy relationship. You finish up this blurb by saying, drawing from her in-depth knowledge, she gives you easy-to-use ideas and tips to improve your intimate connections and fire up your healing erotic energy. Diana is the voice of relationship wisdom, mindful, playful, and pleasure positive. Thank you again, Sherry, for such a wonderful, positive blurb, and we have used it in other areas other than on the book cover, both the back cover and the inside. So thank you again for that.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I totally agree with you right now. We need all the tools we can get.
Yes.
And there are, you know, some real voices of wisdom out there, such as yours, that people can go to and get the help, the support, the ideas, and just that reminder, you know, that there are other things to focus on. We don't just have to be obsessed with listening to the news and freaking out about all of the many things we could be freaking out about right now. So, yeah, I was delighted that you wrote the book. I think people are hungry for that kind of help right now.
Other things to focus on, and in fact, it's often good for one's mental health to take a break from obsessively watching or the news or reading the news obsessively. And you need to take a break from that. And some studies about worry show that 85% of what we worry most about doesn't come true. Now, in this pandemic,
let's hope that's changed a little bit. Right now.
Because some of these things have already come true. But nevertheless, obsessing on that and letting your personal sexual relationship go by the wayside is really sad. We're very fortunate if we have a partner. You have a husband. I have a husband. Many people don't have partners. And I think we should spend some time talking about what single people can do, but we're going to start with couples, because my book is targeted at couples, and your books are wonderful, like Succulent Sex Craft, and it says at the top of the book, your hands-on guide to erotic play and practice for men and women, singles and partners. So we won't leave the singles out. We won't leave them out, but we're going to start with couples.
I'm glad you said that, though. It's really important to remember that even if you are not partnered, you are partnered with yourself. You've got you, and you can give yourself pleasure. You can get all of the positives of great arousal and great sex. So I'm glad we're going to talk about that, too. But, yeah, I'm happy to start with talking about what you can do if you're lucky enough to have a playmate.
Lucky enough to have a playmate, and you know, a lot of apparently the divorce rate is going up, and some people are just so sick of their partners, and they're not having much emotional intimacy, and they're not having any physical intimacy, so they're going in this downward spiral that makes them think about divorce, and that's sad. So we want to, Sherry, you and I want to offer tools for the listening audience so that they can avoid divorce and make their intimate life so much better. Do you want to interject something there?
Sure, I will say something. I mean, there are lots of reasons why people don't get along with their partners. And there can be a lot of challenges in intimate relationship. There's no doubt about that. And I just want to sort of throw in, for couples who are starting to go, wait a minute, should we really be together? Should we be looking at divorce? This is a great time to get professional help. I cannot think of another time in our lives when this is so important. That, you know, if you are at the point where you're starting to not want to be together anymore, reach out, get professional help. There's all kinds of therapists out there and who do things online. So get the help you need. You know, if one partner is having mental health issues, or both for that matter, get the help you need. And if what's really going on is you're just stressed and overwhelmed and freaking out, you know, then the kinds of things we're going to be talking about can be super helpful. If you need more than that, get it. It's out there. So we're not saying that if you're on the verge of divorce that having great sex together is going to solve your problems.
No, exactly. I'm very happy.
You know,
you mentioned that. Yes, help is available, and even low cost or occasionally no cost help. People are having a lot of mental health troubles now, and we can understand why. So very, very important. I mean, some people might consider some of the tools that we're about to offer the listening audience just Band-Aid stuff. Well, yeah, but if, you know, with cognitive behavioral therapy, we know that if we do enough positive behaviors along with changing what we're thinking about, then with the baby steps, pretty soon enough positive behaviors, pretty soon the attitude starts to change. And so that can happen, of course. But, yeah, cognitive behavioral therapy. And what have you been doing at Sherry, for the listening audience, probably if you're regular listeners, you've heard her on this program before, because she's been on many times over the years. Sherry runs the Intimate Arts Center. And did I say that right? The Intimate Arts Center? Yeah, good. Can you tell us about that and what kinds of things are you doing these days? Because we haven't really talked, you and I, we've emailed, but we haven't talked for a few months.
Right. Well, not teaching.
Not teaching.
So at this point, I am available. I do coaching, counseling, you know, on the, you know, via video.
Yes.
And I have a bunch of courses and classes that are recorded, so people can take them at home. And there are the books, and then I, you know, I'm on radio shows like this or participating in telesummits. So right now it's pretty much all about what can we do from the safety of our own home, keeping ourselves
that's
safe
right.
and other people safe. So that's pretty much what's going on. And I think that the other resource I'd say for people is to go to the website, because I've got a ton of free material as well, blogs and video blogs. So it's a great place to start if you want to know more about all kinds of sexuality-related relationship, intimate art things. So
intimate art things.
Available at the moment.
Yeah. So we, over the years, I have mainly used succulent sex craft as a reference, but you have another wonderful book called Women's Anatomy of Arousal, Secret Maps to Buried Treasure. And I love the subtitle.
Treasure.
Secret buried treasure.
Buried pleasure. Yes.
Treasure. Yes. Buried. Did
pleasure.
I say treasure? Oh, dear.
A lot of people do.
Yeah, you were so used to saying, and I have it right in front of me, but I read treasure instead of pleasure. But buried pleasure, well, it heightens it, doesn't it? Buried pleasure. And that one, the ASECT, which stands for American Association for Sex Educators, Counselors, and Therapists, it won the Book of the Year in 2010. And so you talk in that book about different kinds of touch, which we'll focus on. I thought we might start with breathing and then move into touch. And we can go lots of other places too, but we can start with that.
Let me start with a little framework. So everything that I'm talking about right now are tools and skills that you can use by yourself and also use with your partners. So this is for everybody, partnered or not. And I think we are all we're all born with these toolkits right inside of us, and they're the tools of the mind, the body, the heart, and the spirit, and we can learn how to use them. And different people are going to be attracted to different tools. For some people, the spiritual tools are not really going to speak to them. Other people, they really are. And that there are some of these tools that are just key, absolutely foundational key tools. And what you can do with these tools is you can use them to alter your state of consciousness. So
yes.
Arousal, sexual arousal, is an altered state of consciousness. And
just like
meditation. And in fact, all of the benefits that we can get from meditating, we can also get from sexual arousal. So it's an amazing, healing, pleasure-filled opportunity that we have. And so the tools and skills that we'll talk about now, like I said, are all things everyone's got, everyone's breathing, everyone's got a mind, right? Everybody's got all of these things. So that's kind of a bit of a little overview. And then the one you mentioned first, which is breathing, is kind of the foundational tool, not just of the mind, really, but also of the body. Because our breath, this is so cool. I mean, I know I'm an anatomy geek, but I think most people would find this cool. Our respiratory system is the only system in our body that is innervated by both our autonomic nervous system. That's our autopilot. It's making your heart beat. It's keeping you breathing. But also innervated by our voluntary nervous system. That's the part that can make you move your hand. That's voluntary. And mm-hmm. our breath can be either one. And mm-hmm. because it is both, it's like the bridge that we can use to change how we feel, how we think, and what's going on with our state of consciousness, which is it's really amazing. And I think many people use it, even, you know, in some ways. You know, if you're comforting an upset child, usually what's the first thing we say? We say, take a nice deep breath.
Yeah.
Take a couple more nice deep breaths. That'll help you calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
yeah.
we know that
yeah.
we can change our state of being by breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So we can use it to relax and to calm down. We can use it to get turned on and aroused. We can use it to change our mind. So it's just, it's super powerful. So that's kind of what I think of as the key foundational body tool. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it makes sense. And one of your hot tips, labeled that, is transforming anxiety into excitement. And this comes from your Succulent Sex Craft book. Such a good book. I encourage people to get this book. Anyway, transforming anxiety into excitement. And I like what you write here. Anxiety is just excitement without enough breath.
Well,
this isn't just a pleasing aphorism. It's also true physiologically. The biochemical mm-hmm. state of anxiety is literally the same excitement, only with less oxygen. Can you expand on that, Sherry Winston?
Isn't that mind-blowing?
It is mind-blowing. And, I love it.
Right. Yeah, so we produce these internal chemicals, these mm-hmm. neurotransmitters and hormones inside of our body. And everyone knows about adrenaline, right? Adrenaline, also known as epinephrine, is the excitement hormone. We talk about getting an adrenaline rush, that
mm-hmm.
excitement. So the biochemicals that get produced when we're in a state of anxiety, things like epinephrine, and the ones that get produced when we're in a state of pleasurable excitement are really exactly the same biochemicals except for oxygen molecules. And literally, if you look at the chemistry. So if you
fascinating.
Want to...
Yes.
It is. So if you want to notice, if you check in with your body, how you breathe when you're feeling anxious. You might be breathing fast, but it's usually shallow. The breath is usually tight. You know, if somebody's hyperventilating, right? We tell them to breathe into a paper bag or breathe into their
yes.
hands to take nice, deep breaths. All of those things are about resetting the sensors in the body. And so that's just, it's just the thing. If you're feeling anxious, breathe deeply and slowly. Slow your breath and breathe deeper, and you will be able to shift that into excitement, which is pretty useful in terms of arousal.
It is, and I think it can be useful as people are experiencing anxiety and stress, and they have an awareness that they'd like to be sensual, at least, perhaps sexual, with their partner. So how to transition? This is a great way to transition by lowering your anxiety and slowing things down with your breathing and using your whole chest and belly. And,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
right.
it yes. works. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, a great little learning, a series of learning exercises that anyone can do is
mm-hmm.
to pleasure yourself, play with yourself. It's easy to do this by yourself. Play with yourself and just pay attention to how you breathe at different points. Don't even try and change anything. Just notice, because noticing mm-hmm. and awareness is your number one mind tool. So just bring your awareness to your breath. So notice when you first get started how you're breathing. how you're breathing in early arousal, later arousal, as you get close to orgasm, how you breathe through your orgasm and after. Just notice. Just make some notes. Then, once you're aware of that, run a series of experiments where you change how you breathe. So for most of us, early in arousal, we're probably, we might be starting to breathe fast but shallow. And so what happens if you make your breath slower and deeper? What happens when you're getting close to orgasm, at which point most of us are breathing pretty fast, but sometimes we're still breathing in a shallow way? What happens if you keep breathing fast but make your breath deeper? What happens if you slow your breathing down at that point? And then you just run these different experiments and notice what happens. And that's how you start gaining mastery of your arousal, of your erotic solo skills, of your ability to get yourself more turned on, more deeply turned on, more deeply into trance. Some people start to hold their breath at a certain point. Notice if you do that, and then run the experiment of what happens if I keep breathing instead of holding my breath. And then there's all kinds of other fun things you can do with partners where you play with breathing at the same rhythm and the same pace, that you're both breathing in together and breathing out together. And then you can play with alternating it. One person breathes in while the other one breathes out, and so it's as if you're exchanging your breath. And this is a great way to just get on the same page energetically with your partner, so especially when we're stressed and things are going on and it's hard to shift gears. A great way to play with that is get together, get close to each other, hug, or lie body to body, or sit in your partner's lap, whatever, and just breathe together. You can eye gaze or you can close your eyes and just let yourselves go into a nice, deep, slow rhythm of breathing together. And then maybe you want to start getting some turn-on energy, start doing that alternate breathing. And then maybe you play with what happens if you slowly get faster with your rhythm while keeping your breath deep. And you can just play around with all of that. So these are the ways that we can start learning consciously about our erotic experiences as opposed to the unconscious learning that most of us have done for most of our lives. How does that sound?
Yes, that's a very, very important point you're making. And I will encourage couples that haven't been sexual for a very long time to, at the very least, lie together naked and begin to touch each other. But adding the breath to it and breathing in and out together and then alternating the breathing can be a better way to really reconnect, because you're adding besides the touch that you're going to feel on your body, but the breathing, and so it can help you relax and have less anxiety. It's a great transition.
Yeah. And it helps you become entrained. You know, we have body rhythms. We've got our breathing and our heart rate. We've also got rhythms, brainwave rhythms, heart wave rhythms. So our bodies are these incredibly rhythmic beings. And when we are with another person, particularly when we're feeling close to them or connected to them, especially when we're physically close and connected, we start to entrain our rhythms. We start to get into the same rhythm. And what we would ideally, I think, like to do in our erotic experiences is get into the same arousal zone and get our energies linked. And so if we start out by getting our breathing synchronized, all of our other body rhythms will get synchronized. And then as we play, we start to share. We get into a trance state that's conjoined, which is the most erotic and pleasurable trance state I think we can get into. So that's
I agree.
To get yourselves off in that direction.
Yes. That's fairly, that has tantric elements to it, the energetic, the spiritual, and would you say?
Well, I would say all of the sacred sexuality traditions, Tantra, Taoist, Native American
okay,
ones
all of
that
them.
I've studied, probably all of them all over the world, because these are human tools and skills. So I think every one of the sacred sex traditions uses breath. That's one of the things that first got me going, oh, wait a minute, it's not about any one particular technique. It's about these innately human tools that we all have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And different traditions might use them different ways. Like in the tantric tradition, they might say, you know, breathe this way together. And the Taoist tradition might say, oh, do it the other way. but there's no right or wrong way. It's just finding out what you like,
yeah.
What works for you and your partner. If we were adding in another element and we added in sound, that
mm-hmm.
would make it an even more powerful connection. And then if we added in some movement, particularly the pelvic floor muscle movement, so those
mm-hmm.
are my sort of key three, breath, sound, pelvic floor muscle movement. And if we
mm-hmm.
do that all together with our partner at the same time, it gets really hot, really fast, connected, pleasurable, let go of the anxiety, let go of the performance, everything. So those are hugely powerful tools, even though, as I said, in Tantra they might say, tighten your pelvic floor muscles when you breathe out, and in Taoist tradition, they might say, tighten your pelvic floor muscles when you breathe in, right?
So it can be confusing, but you're saying experiment, find out what works
mm-hmm.
for the two of you.
Exactly.
And,
I don't think
yeah.
there is a right and a wrong way. There's just
no.
the ways that work for you. And
yeah.
And I think doing it both ways is fun and pleasurable and exciting and might take you to slightly different places energetically. So there just
mm-hmm.
might as well have it all in your toolkit. Right? Why limit yourself?
Why limit yourself? You know, one of the fun things about your book is that it's so beautifully illustrated. Your own drawings. Sherry is a wonderful artist, and when I took your course at Quad S about probably 7 years ago now. How long?
Probably more.
Well, it was Monterey.
Probably more. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a while ago.
But anyway. But so I learned about the labia and the commas that are underneath the skin, and you do a
mm-hmm.
the commas. Tell us about that, because you have a wonderful drawing in your book, and in all of the years that I've been doing this work, I really didn't know that much about these parts that need to fill up with blood.
Yes,
as part of the arousal.
Yes, so women have a number of different structures that are all made out of erectile tissue, which is the same tissue that penises are made out of. And
right.
it's like with a penis, that tissue can become engorged, that is filled with blood that gets trapped in there, where they puff up and get delicious and sensitive. And people with vulvas and people with penises all have the same amount of erectile tissue. It's just arranged differently. So for people who own vulvas, the erectile tissue is mostly hidden. It is missing from almost every single textbook or sex book that
yep.
you will come across. And so that my book, Women's Anatomy of Arousal, is all about all the parts that are really there, how they're connected, how to play with them, how to make them happy. And I will mention that there are some blog posts on my website, so people just are going like, what? What is she talking about? What does she mean? I've never heard of vestibular bulbs. Or
vestibular bulbs, exactly right.
Right. Go on my website and read some of those blog posts. I do have some of my illustrations there so you can get an idea. But I think everyone who owns the equipment or partners with somebody who owns the equipment should know what is there and how to operate it. It's like before I had discovered these things and found this out and you know put together this whole alternative map to the map that's out there in our you know in all of our institutions. I didn't know what was there, and once I started to discover it, it was really just. I can barely tell you how it changed my experience. It was like I had been playing the piano, and I thought there were 22 keys on my piano, and I could make good music with my 22 keys and have orgasms, and that was great. And then I started to discover, oh, my gosh, there's 88 keys, and there's foot pedals, and the music that I could make, the erotic experiences I could have just expanded exponentially. And so I think this is a not only one of the key things that I'm on a mission to get this information out to everyone, and I mean also, you know, sex teachers and therapists and healthcare providers, as well as the general public, we need to know this. Everybody needs to know this, and then we can all be having more empowered pleasure, giving more pleasure, getting more pleasure, and it's really... I don't know. I mean, I'm still, I've been teaching this for a long time. That book has been out for 10 years, and mm-hmm. I wish it no longer was about secret maps to buried pleasure. I wish it was, here's the map everybody has, everybody knows. That's what I'm hoping for. So I get to the point where,
yes.
where I go, vestibular
yes.
bulbs, and everybody goes, oh, yeah, I love my vestibular bulbs, or I love playing with my partner's vestibular bulbs, instead of people going, what?
You know, it was very illuminating when I learned this from your class. It must be 5 to 7 years ago now, but and so I've incorporated that into some of the sex therapy that I give to people, and to encourage the partner who's maybe going down on the woman with oral sex, cunnilingus, that lightly munching on the labia, and by doing that, filling up the vestibular bulbs with more blood, and it increases arousal. And I must say, I think it's a beautiful addition to sexual arousal and the benefits of being pleasured through cunnilingus. It's amazing. And you're right. Most people don't know about it, and I've had a handout made back when I was seeing people live. Now I see them on Zoom, but a handout made from your illustration, giving you credit, of course, because when you can see it, say, oh, yeah, and look at those upside-down commas, the vestibular bulbs. They're attached to the
mm-hmm.
clitoris. Everything's attached.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The whole system down there.
That's the other thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happens... when you get part of the network of structures activated, you get pleasure, you get arousal, you can have orgasm, but it's not as magnificent as when all of the structures are engorged and activated, because then you get this circuit where, because they are connected, you get these overlapping, interlocking circuits, these cuffs of erectile tissue that are engorged, and... wow, it changes everything. It changes the experience of penetration, of
mm-hmm.
intercourse. It's really just dramatically different. Yeah, once you know what's there and you play with it. And it's so, I don't know, it's magnificent when the whole thing is operating the way it's designed to operate is really what it is. Right. This is how Mother Nature designed it to operate.
yeah. And everything is connected. And when all of those things are getting pleasured, and I'd like to hear a little bit more about how the intercourse can change, can be changed too. But but when, say, the anus may be rimming, or maybe some penetration with a toy or whatever, and the perineum and the vagina, maybe again with a toy or whatever, and with cunnilingus, so with licking the clitoris and the labia, boy, that those things can produce a really powerful orgasm, or orgasms, plural. It's okay. It's quite amazing, mind-blowing.
It really is. It really is. And just to sort of speak to penetrative sex.
Yes, please do that.
So I think we have an epidemic of premature penetration. I guess I should call it, now I can call it a pandemic. We have a pandemic of premature penetration.
Yeah.
Because I love my alliterations.
Pandemic of premature ejaculation. All right.
Premature penetration, not ejaculation.
Penetration, right.
Penetration.
Right, no,
right. Right. Penetration.
Premature,
Right. So when you have a heterosexual couple and one person has a penis, often the sequence of activities are sort of led by the penis. That once it's hard, it's time to enter. It's time to go in. And, you know, and I haven't seen a study recently, but a study from a bunch of years ago was said that in the U.S., for heterosexual couples, the average amount of time for the entire sexual session, including all activities, from start to finish, is 12 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
12 minutes. So for most women to get totally and thoroughly aroused, to get all of the parts of their erectile network engorged, to get themselves into a deep erotic trance, that usually takes about 30 to 45 minutes.
Yes. Yes.
So when we have premature penetration, when a finger or a toy or a penis is entering the vagina, and those vestibular bulbs in particular are not engorged, as well as all of the structures of the clitoris, of which there are three different clitoral structures, and ideally the more internal erectile tissue of around the urethra and in the floor of the vagina, if all of those things are engorged, which takes some time, and the woman is in a high-level arousal, penetration feels amazing.
Yes.
And, again, a quantum difference from how it feels when you don't have that engorgement, particularly of the bulbs, but ideally of everything. And so we have a lot of women who do not have orgasms from intercourse. That is normal. In fact, more than half of women do not have orgasms from intercourse, and we often have people thinking there's something wrong with them because I'm not coming the right way, or their partners feel bad because they're not making them have orgasms the right way. And the right way, of course, the idea is that that would be from penis and vagina intercourse. But, of course, there are many, many ways to have orgasms. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. However, we can learn to maximize the chances of having orgasms from intercourse when we take enough time to get deeply aroused, when we make sure all of the erectile network is engorged prior to penetration. And that's the key. And so we're just, people are not taking enough time. They don't know where all the parts are, so they're not stimulating them. They're not honoring the timetable of most women's arousal, which tends to be slower than the timetable of most men's. But once we recognize all those things and we shift our behavior and we use our tools to get more turned on and more aroused with our, you know, our breath and our pelvic floor muscles, then it becomes fairly easy for most women to have orgasms from all sorts of different kinds of stimulation, including having orgasms from intercourse. So it's all learnable.
And
those are the things
and
you need to teach and learn.
people really need succulent sex craft and women's anatomy of arousal, which I think succulents, of course, I've used succulent sex craft more. I've read more of it than women's anatomy of arousal. But are they companion books in your mind as the author of both?
Yes. So women's anatomy of arousal obviously focuses more on female sexuality and goes into great depth about the anatomy and the, and physiology and other, you know, other bits and pieces like about cycles and how that that affects our sexuality, sexual energy. So that's really that in-depth book. There's hot tips for guys. I've had, I've gotten emails from men thanking me for the book.
Yes.
But it's predominantly geared towards how to help women have the full extent of pleasure that's possible. Succulent sex craft is for everybody, men and women, and everybody in between, and outside of those gender distinctions, all orientations, and it's really about learning how to become an erotic virtuoso, how to play your own instrument with magnificence, and also how to be an awesome partner and play amazing duets with others, or trios or whatever you want to play.
So that
book goes into a lot more detail about all of the different tools and lots of ideas for experiments and games and that sort of thing.
I'm looking in your book.
I do think they're very compatible.
Yes. I'm looking in your succulent sex craft book at one of your play and practice exercises, solo and partner play, and it's called Touching and Feeling. And so for partner play, you suggest maybe both of you can be blindfolded as you focus on touching and feeling. I think, and I've done this with Brian, you know, put the blindfold on and it really shifts your attention so you have more awareness for the actual touch when you don't have the visual part.
You know, we're a very visual creatures. So when we close off our vision, or our vision really then at that point kind of turns internal, we have internal vision, but it really allows us to pay more attention to other things like touch. So it's, I think a blindfold can be a wonderful way to play and explore and turn on different parts of your awareness. And touch is one of our tools in our toolkit. And it's another thing we can learn to become exquisite in our ability to give touch and also our ability to receive sensation. Right. We can turn up the volume on sensation, and when we do that, of course, it's easier to get more pleasure from it. So these are all skills that we can learn how to use.
We can learn how to use them. We have to practice it, though, and sometimes it's hard for couples to transition. I was seeing a couple. We'll call them Bill and Susan, early 50s. Their children were launched. They were wanting their empty nest to become a love nest. And Susan told me, I want to feel desire again. And Bill wanted more touch and physical connection with his wife. And he really needed the physicality in order to voice his tenderness in his longing to connect with his wife. He is introverted. And he said, you know, I just can't seem to find the words. Talk intimacy eludes me. And Susan is more in her head, and she, and words feel safer to her than gestures or movements. So touch exercises really helped this couple. And I have in my book, in chapter 4, some touch exercises. I decided for the book not to call them Sensate Focus, which is the more clinical term, but that's the term that Matt Masters, as you know, Sherry, Masters and Johnson came up with Sensate Focus, because with their years of research, they felt that too many couples were paying way too much attention just to the genitals, and they're all of, from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet, all these other possibilities, and perhaps it's too bad if we get stuck between the legs. So these caressing touch Sensate Focus exercises helped the wife be more in her body, and you know, then her husband was kind of relieved not to have to search for the right words. So I did what we talked about at the top of the show, which I suggested that they spend time naked in bed together, but not for sex. So really pay attention to the breath and the body. Oh, we've talked about that too. But taking turns, being the giver and the receiver, can have a lot of, can provide a lot of help for the relationship and get the couple back in practice of touching intimately, in an intimate way. And also they could learn to relax and get into another realm that they've been out of for so long, the physical realm.
Yeah. You said so many important things in there.
Yeah.
The first being taking time to be together in a pleasuring way that's not sex-focused.
Mm-hmm.
Taking time to play learning games. That's one another thing I like to call them, learning games.
I like that too, yes.
Mm-hmm. Also that we often have different languages of, you know, I know we've all probably all heard of love languages, you know, the sort of basic idea, well, you know, I like gifts, my partner responds to service, you know, I like touch, he likes words, you know, that sort of thing. But I think there's even more love language sort of distinctions we can make in our styles of how we want to be intimate. Certainly touch and words are very different styles, but you know, some people really connect, it's the sex that connects them. Other people, they really want to connect in a sensual way. Some people want to connect with, you know, with fantasy and imagination and role play and so forth. So we often wind up with partners who have a different style than we do.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
my style is very touch-oriented. My partner's style is about words, maybe words in like role play and fantasy. And we could have a lot of sexual problems because I'm thinking, just touch me, and he's thinking, talk to me.
Yep.
And nobody's getting what they want. But once we start reframing that as these are all learning opportunities, so I could learn to use my words better, and he can learn to use his touch skills better, and we can develop that kind of mastery of all of those different domains. So rather than thinking there's something wrong with our partner because they don't respond to the same things or they don't want the same things, we can kind of look at that as a learning opportunity. And then we can find the ways by having conversations about our sex when we're not having it.
When we're not having it.
When we're not having it, so we know what's working, what we want to work on to make it get better, where we'd like to go, getting more understanding about our partner's desires and our desires and where they overlap and where they don't, where our boundaries are. Then setting up those learning games and taking time to play and practice things like you were talking about, you know, get naked and touch each other, put on a blindfold, have one person be the giver, one person be the receiver, and then you switch. Play with sound, play with breathing, play with whatever. So doing those things. And then all of those skills are going to come into our actual sexual sessions when we're having sex. So, again, it's all learnable. All the stuff is learnable.
It's all learnable, and It really helps to have some guidelines like your wonderful books and my book too, because we need a lot of couples really, really need help. I like to think about having talks with your significant other, if you're lucky enough to have one, and to really learn to talk to each other and to really learn what turns your partner on and what doesn't. And a lot of times couples have gotten themselves out of this practice. And if they have a concern or a complaint, I think they need to describe themselves, not their partner. It's kind of the difference between I'm feeling hurt and you've hurt me. So self-disclose.
This is another skill set most of us are lacking. We've never had this modeled for us. We didn't see our parents communicate well, perhaps. We are our primary caregivers. We didn't see it in movies and read it in books, and we don't see it in porn. So how do we know how to talk to our partners about things, about our desires and, any things that we've kept secret or what works, what doesn't work? And then also we're afraid. We don't want our partners to feel criticized. We don't want to feel shamed about things. So there's a lot of potential barriers to having this kind of communication that we're talking about. And it is, I think, a really advanced skill set, erotic communication. How do I communicate with my partner while we're having sex? How do we talk about things when we're not having it? And this is fertile ground for those kinds of play and practice sessions to say, okay, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to ask for what I want. I don't know how, when something's not working, I don't know how to tell you it's not working. These are my fears. I'm afraid you're going to feel insulted. If I share my fantasy with you, I think you're going to think I'm disgusting, right? So have those conversations and then set up a safe, fun way to play and practice around those things so you develop the skills and get help. Get help from, therapists and counselors and read books and do online classes together, right? There's lots of things you can do that can help you develop those skills. So it takes courage, which I think is one of our heart skills, one of our love skills, courage, when you're afraid or anxious about doing something, but you do it anyway because it's what needs to happen. You know, it's like the firefighter running into the burning building to save the baby. Of course they're scared, but they're going to do it because somebody has to save the baby. Right? In this case, we're the baby, and our relationship is the baby. And so doing the things that are hard, doing the things that we're just scared about, learning new things. It's not necessarily easy, but if you do it step by step, it can be pretty simple, right? And that's why read the books, like your books and my books and so forth. So you get that help and support in learning the stuff that you definitely did not see modeled anywhere in our culture.
No, and we live in a time where there's so much information available and help, but we have to take advantage of it. You're very inspiring, Sherry. No question about it. People can really benefit from reading your books and mine too. But yours go even more in depth, and you have all of these spiritual components too, which I think are beautiful and can take people to much higher levels. But it is a step-by-step process for sure, and some people need to take the baby steps first because they're not ready. They're still in grade school, and they'd really like to be in graduate school, but they're not there yet. So be gentle with each other. You use the word, it takes courage to do this. I think it does take courage because you worry about what your partner might think of you if you make these, or maybe they'll laugh, or maybe they'll say, oh, that's not going to work, or they just discount it. and there's the music, so we've got to stop. But taking that chance and having good communication, you'll decide that it's really, really important for your relationship and for yourself.
Mm.
First for yourself and then
Absolutely.
For the relationship. Thank you, Sherry. I will be in touch with
My
you.
Pleasure.
We'll have you back soon again, and I'll put in the show notes all of your contact information so people can go to your website and also buy one or both of your books. Thank you, Sherry.
Well, and thank you for having me. A pleasure as always.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye, everybody. Take good care of yourself and maybe take care of somebody else, too. Bye-bye.
Cosa ne